Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, these are God's words. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Verse 10 is possibly an appropriate theme verse for the entire Gospel of Luke. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. One of the big problems in the book of Luke with people is that they did not think that they were lost. The Pharisee in the temple was certain that he wasn't lost, but the Lord Jesus said that it was the publican, the sinner, tax collector, who went home to his house justified. The rich young ruler didn't think he was lost. He thought there was just maybe one thing left to do, and that he would inherit eternal life. Zacchaeus is rich, which is a problem because remember what Jesus said after the rich young ruler didn't want to give up his riches to have Jesus because he didn't feel like he was lost. And so he didn't feel that needy of Jesus and it wasn't worth giving up the riches. Jesus said how awful it is to be rich because how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God, for it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. But here, Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. So this is an account of how God does what is impossible with man. A rich man gets saved. And the rich man is not really responsible for this at all. Not only does verse 10 tell us, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, verse 3 tells us, he sought to see who Jesus was. He didn't even know who Jesus was when this starts. He's just a little guy and there's a big crowd, and so he wants to see what all the commotion is, and he climbs up into a tree to try to get a glimpse. It's Jesus who, instead of passing by the tree, stops at the tree. Zacchaeus doesn't know who Jesus was, but Jesus knows who Zacchaeus is. He looks up into the tree and he says, Zacchaeus! And Jesus invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house, and Zacchaeus doesn't say, oh no, this guy and his 12 friends and his hundreds and thousands of followers are going to come to my house for supper? Remember when Absalom was trying to cook up his Amnon murder plot, and he invited David. David said, no, lest we trouble you too much. Why? Because David was the king, and he would have his royal retinue who would come with him, and he didn't want to trouble him too much. But Zacchaeus made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. He's rejoicing to receive a man who, a few verses ago, a few seconds ago, didn't even know who he was. Why? How? Because Jesus, by his Spirit, gave Zacchaeus not just an initial curiosity, but joy to receive him gladly, even at great cost. And it was a lot higher than the cost of the dinner, wasn't it? Because he said, I'm going to start by giving half of my assets away for the poor. Jesus didn't even tell him to do it. But because he was so thankful to have Jesus, he was willing to volunteer, basically, what Jesus had told the rich young ruler to do, and the rich young ruler couldn't. You see the difference the Lord Jesus makes in a heart to not just be curious about him. That's fine. It's good to be curious about him, to want to know things about who Jesus is and who God is and how the Father and the Son and the Spirit are three persons but one God, and how Jesus is one person but God and man. And then you learn all sorts of things about his character and prophecies about him. And it's great to be curious about Jesus, but it's a more important and vital work of the Holy Spirit for you to receive him gladly and to be willing to give up anything for him. In fact, it sounds in part like Zacchaeus was concerned for Jesus' reputation, because he heard the people complaining, saying, he has gone to be guests with a man who is a sinner. They weren't attacking Zacchaeus. They were attacking Jesus. Zacchaeus didn't want his guest and now his Lord to be under attack like that. And so he pledges not only to give half of his things to the poor, but that if he has defrauded anybody, if he has gotten extra from them by accusation, he would give the amount plus four times. So he would give a fivefold back. The law required the amount plus one-fifth, 1.2-fold back. So Zacchaeus, out of a desire that his Lord and his Savior would be honored, was glad to do above and beyond what anyone else would have expected. Is this not what we want the Lord Jesus to do in our hearts? To make us not just curious about him, but to rejoice to receive him, to be glad to give up whatever is helpful, whatever brings him honor, and to live life with such godliness and blamelessness before men that, if at all possible, we wouldn't bring any shame at all upon our Savior's name. Well, this is what Jesus does when he seeks and saves that which was lost. And salvation didn't just come to Zacchaeus, did it? Verse 9, today salvation has come to this house. He didn't mean rocks with plaster holding them together. He meant his household, his family. Why? Because Jesus saved him because he was a son of Abraham. Jesus covenanted, committed himself to him, brought Zacchaeus and his children into that covenant relationship in which he had brought Abraham and his children. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham's the father of all the Jews who believe circumcised when circumcised, and all of the Gentiles who believe when uncircumcised, because when Abraham first believed, he was uncircumcised. And then when Abraham had believed, he was circumcised, and to him circumcision was given. And so Jesus makes it clear that when he seeks and saves those who are lost, he is seeking and saving those who are the children of Abraham and bringing salvation not only to them, but to them and their children, just like he has promised to Abraham and to his spiritual children, the children of promise, not necessarily his biological children. So what that means is that not only do I look at this and I've got good hope, Lord helping me, and he will, and by his Spirit, that I would be curious about Jesus, that I would rejoice to receive him, that I would be happy to pay whatever cost for him, that I would desire to reflect well upon my Master, but that salvation which he has brought to me, he's also promised to my children. That's one of the reasons why we use the means that he has appointed in the worship, and we use the means that he has appointed when we're not in the worship, because I'm desiring him, and he has promised to give you curiosity about himself, to make you rejoice to receive him gladly, to make you willing to give up whatever might be necessary for him, and to desire to live in such a way that reflects well upon your Savior. Let's ask him to do that. Father, thank you that you have given your Son on this rescue mission to seek and to save that which is lost. And we pray that as you have made us children of Abraham, that you would, for my children and then for their children, bring salvation to their house. Grant to them to be curious about Christ, to be known by Christ, that he would come and that he would dwell with them, that they would receive him gladly, that they would be happy to give up whatever is necessary for him, and eager to live in such a way that reflects well upon him and glorifies him. Do this for me and my wife, my children of my house, and grant that they too one day would be the parents in houses where Jesus comes, where they are known by him, and he does this work in their children by his Spirit. So grant it, Father, we ask, through the name of your Son, whom you have given us, even Jesus. Amen.